playa, tu boca mezclaban con mis olas. Sentía que soñaba y mis pies en la arena bailaban.
Porque hace tiempo lo notábamos los dos, y quizá tocaba que en Samaná afuera donde nos confesáramos que nos queríamos y nos sentíamos cada vez más cerca. Y tú, insistiendo en que yo te diera una respuesta. Y yo, pensando si un sí o si un no es lo que...
Hey, happy Tuesday. I hope everyone had an exciting Thanksgiving weekend. Over the summer, U Multicultural had an inspiring project, Ethnofest, a digital ethnocultural festival celebrating Winnipeg and Canada's diverse voices and communities. With over 50 episodes from this year's event, there's so much to see. Let's take this hour to listen to some of those stories. Let's get into it.
Through, you know, everything we could into coming out of COVID and getting back on the ground, and it's last year wasn't as you know, it was harder because of everything that was still going on, and this year's been a lot of work, but there's very not nearly the glitches or issues, and so many cooperative people, and I'm happy. So yeah, it's going well, and it just takes a lot of hard work and people that believe in the vision that we have for this province to be a filmmaking, you know, center. And now we have more flights and we have more belief, and you saw the number, with the amount of money we make through filmmaking, and I want to make the festival a place that they start showing these films they make in Manitoba.
There's been a lot of, first day sort of kinks and jitters, but I think the team is really working it out, and it seems like things are rolling smoothly now, and so it's just a party from here on out. Yeah, and that's kind of the point of a film festival, I think, is to bring to audiences things that they might not have access to themselves, or things that you can't really see in a normal, like in a normal theater or on Netflix or any other streaming platform. You know, these are films from around the world that we've select and vet, right? And so when you come and you see a film, you know it's gone through a bit of a selection process, that because there's tons of films out there in the world, right? And some are great and some are not so great. And, you know, we try to select the best ones we can for this festival. Yeah, and you know, who knows, it might even grow in the future. You never know. There's lots of festivals that are like a week long, 10 days, 2 weeks long. So who knows? Next year, as far as programming wise, I'd love to develop more the industry side of this festival. The industry sessions, we have 12 industry sessions this year, and that's the most that we've ever had. And so continue to develop that, which means that more filmmakers, more young like students, the emerging filmmakers will come to try to learn and also partake in the festival, and also just to continue to have movies for everybody, right? The programming this year is really strong, a lot of great movies. A lot of really diverse, like interesting movies from around the world, and you know, we just hope to continue to have that.
Hello everyone, my name is Dylan Priest. I'm the interpretation coordinator at Lore for Gary National Historic Site. And today we are in the bakehouse. So today we're gonna talk about gluten, we're gonna talk about bread. And one of the most iconic would be bannock. Now, bannock has existed for centuries. Basically, bannock is an unleavened bread that's cooked on a girdle or a griddle in Scots, and it's cooked into a round bannock. Bannock is such a comfort food because it's such a staple because it was easy to make. It's something you basically just need a pot to make your dough. You mix it up, and you can mix it up, and then you can cook it. It's very simple. It's delicious, and it gives you the energy that you need, and it uses mostly dry ingredients. Staple ingredients for bannock would be some sort of flour, salt, and some sort of fat. So today I'm going to be using baking powder and butter. So we're going to have some of that chemical leavening as well as mechanical leavening with the butter. So it should be nice and fluffy. So one thing that I will mention is that in this facility, you wouldn't have a lot of bannock being made. Bannock is something you make for your family or you make on the road. So if you're a tripsman working the route between York Factory and Lower Fort Garry, you're traveling many weeks. And between here and York Factory, there are about 31 portages, and you need to be able to whip something up quick. But here, speaking of provisions, we'll be making, around this time of year, we'll be making this stuff, which is called hardtack. So hardtack, or ship's biscuit, is heart of the rock. Yeah. And this would be baked quite a bit in these bake ovens in a mass quantity. What you do is you'll make the dough and you roll it out. You take this mold, you cut it, and then you don't want it to rise too much. You want it to really be thin. And then you kind of perforate the dough, and then you throw that in the oven. And then you let it cook, you take it out, and you throw it back in, you cook it some more. You really want to evaporate, draw out all that moisture, because moisture means mold, because water is the element of life. The hardtack will then keep for a long, long time without going bad. And to be able to eat it without cracking a tooth, you would just need to soak it in something. So you can soak it in your soup, soak it in water, and things like that.
Gwena and Malvoisin, and we are here today because we want to celebrate Bastille Day, that is actually the national holiday in France, and it was like to celebrate the French Revolution that happened in 1789. So we decided to be on Esplanade Riel because it is connecting the French part of the city with the English part, and the point is like we want to get everybody together, the French community and also the English community. Today we're tasting cheese, which is the Trappist cheese, which is made here in Manitoba. And we decided to do this with cheese because French people really love cheese. It's really important for them. So we decided to choose this cheese because it's kind of similar to the raclette one. And it's a really good one that is made in Manitoba and that it's pretty nice. So there's no French cheese or cheeses here, but this one. I'm originally from Dunkirk, which is a city in the north of France. It's pretty famous for the Second World War because there's actually also a movie about it. And one of the biggest traditions where I'm from, it's called the Carnival. And it's from January till April, where people are just putting like disguise on. And we just go in the streets to walk and drink and have fun. And we also have the balls where you pay for a ticket and it's with like charity. So you pay a ticket with a charity, you go in the ball, you have fun. It's a lot of music from like where I'm from. And at the end of the money that they got, they're just gonna give it back to other charities, which is pretty nice. And so it's a big tradition that we do, and one of the things that people like surprised about is that most of the time men are wearing women clothes or like dresses or like skirt, and it's because this party that we do is very, very old, and it used to be like fishermen, and before they will go to like Iceland to fish, they knew that some of them will die, so they were just doing like a big party, but they had no clothes on because everything was in the ships. So they would just take like what was at their home. It was their like mothers and sisters and aunts, like clothes and everything. So that's why they were wearing it. And we kept the tradition and ongoing. And it's a really nice tradition that we have in the north of France.
Good morning, my name is Marvin Dubon. I'm from El Salvador, and I own JC Tacos and More. The reason why we started our Mexican restaurant was because we had a lot of customers that had celiac disease. About 15 years ago, the celiac disease was an uncommon disease that not a lot of people knew about, but we had this type of food that we provided to them. So when they asked one of my guests, I said, why is it that you're buying these particular products? And then they explained me what celiac was. And they kept asking me, you should open a Mexican restaurant. You should open a Mexican restaurant so you can provide us with real wholesome food, right?
Mm-hmm.
concept of a restaurant is Mexican. We try to have it as authentic as possible. It has been good acceptance from our clientele, which is tells us that we're doing something good. This is my son, Josue, and my favorite son, I always call, and my daughter. The reason to live, the reason to do what we do with passion, my kids. And the other mural here, that's the Mexican mariachi. As you all know, they sing and they have rancheras and all that. Over here is our mural of my heroes. And I'm sure we'll have to have somebody who has not done bad things in there. But that's what it is, like peace, love, acceptance. All right, so that's what this mural is. Right, this is in El Salvador and it's pointing north. Why it points north is sitting on the globe. And this was created on the festivities and culture of our country. We have on this side here, the blue and white that represent our flag and also represents our oceans because we have the ocean and lakes. On this side here, we have the bird. It's called Toro Gos. The bird is our national bird. So this is the one that has always be his beautiful bird. On this side here, we have the Flor de Sote, which is also another iconic flower for our country. And that is our national flower. It represents us. It is a representation of our culture, representation of what we believe, and the gift that we have gotten from God, and that's what that is. I want you to feel like you're at home, that you are not coming to just to be served. I want you to be part of it as well. And I think that part is what's making us different than everybody else. And when you eat your food, you're gonna feel it just as good. So that's why you notice we always have music, because we want the ambience for them to enjoy.
We decided to open up Dita Boys in the south end of Winnipeg because we actually grew up in the inner city and spent a lot of time in the central part of Winnipeg and progressively moved further and further south and had realized that there was a lower ratio of Philippine restaurants and Philippine locally owned businesses closer to the outskirts of the south end of the city. And when you look at a community that has one of the highest ratios of Philippine people, not only in the province, but in Canada, and one of the oldest Philippine communities in the country as well, we need to see representation in all corners of the city. And we actually have a very growing population of Philippine people in the surrounding neighborhoods as well. When you look at some of the data, the Philippine population is actually one of the second largest ethnocultural groups in the surrounding neighborhoods where we're located in the Southland Shopping Center. So there is no shortage of we call them kababayan or fellow country people in this part of town, but we do want to make sure that people get to experience what Philippine cuisine and culture is all about. So that was the purpose behind why we decided to open up in this end of town. But what is really interesting about Filipino food, and this is true for a lot of ethnic cuisine, is that the country is not just one blanket type of dish or type of food, rather. You're going to see like as much diversity within that one country as you see in terms of diversity of restaurants in a city like Winnipeg. So I think it's really important to celebrate all of the different cuisine that represents the diaspora of the Philippines, both in the country and outside of it. What we aim to create here at Tito Boys is a safe space for both non-Philippine folks as well as Arkababayan, our fellow country people from any area of the Philippines, whether you're a newcomer or you are second, third generation who's grown up here your entire life. We want to meet people where they're at, and we want to make sure that we do decrease those barriers to ensure that people feel comfortable asking questions about what kind of food we are serving at our dinner table, or maybe there are opportunities to reminisce on dishes that they grew eating up, or perhaps they are getting introduced to some new variations of familiar dishes that they are accustomed to, in whether it's their region or their family had made growing up. So we think it's just really important to celebrate the diversity of our Philippine community here. We have such an incredible community, a huge population of Philippine people that are celebrated in the center of the country. We really are kind of the epicenter for Philippine culture, cuisine, and traditions. And Winnipeg has an opportunity to really, really be the flag bearer in a lot of ways, to showcase to the rest of the country and the rest of the world that we are proud to be Pinoy's, Pinay's, Filipinx people, and that we are a culture that has incredibly high quality, tasty, amazing cuisine that should be celebrated alongside many other Asian cuisines and ethnic cuisines that have already gained prominence in the country. So Philippine cuisine, if you haven't had it before, it's something that you should definitely try out. There are many, many Philippine restaurants in the city. We're very lucky to have the diversity that we do here in Winnipeg. So make sure you try some out during the festival.
Place. Your walls had such nice windows, yeah, with pretty flowers that smelled so sweet. Your walls had such nice windows, yeah, from where you would smile back at me. And I tried to shatter them down. I tried to shatter them down. I ended up breaking you down. I ended up breaking us down. Now those windows, they don't open for me. I wonder, did they ever really, will they ever open for me? I guess we'll never know. I guess we'll never know. You're real good at building walls, walls that no one else can see. I pray one day those walls will fall, yeah, and let your light shine on me. Yeah, let your light shine on me. Yeah, let your light shine.
My name is Brian Petrikowski, and I play cymbala. I have been playing cymbala for around 10 years, and I picked it up when I was about 7 years old, and I was taught and inspired by my dad, and just generations of music. My dad plays cymbala, and I always watched him when I was a kid. This cymbala I have here, this is my personal one, and I bought it in Edmonton a couple years ago. It's a smaller cymbala. Most cymbalas are a little bit larger in size. This one is especially a small one. It's good to go play and take it and transport it. And it's made by a fella in Edmonton in 1973. So it's about 50 years old. Cymbalas have many different types of strings, brass, steel, bronze, copper, and even stainless steel. And this one has brass. Brass is personally my favorite sounding strings. I think it projects a warm sound. Steel is also a good string, but it's very tough, and the sound is different. It's totally different for all types of cymbalas. The only problem with brass is it's soft and it's weak, so strings do bust and stuff, so replacing strings quite often is what I have to do. But I do like this cymbala and the strings, and I play it all the time. Lots of bands would have a cymbala, especially in Ukraine. And it's an instrument where if there's a band playing and people walk into the hall and there's a timbala, it's almost a special treat to the people, because the timbala is, there's a lot of, it's a hard instrument to play, and there's a few people, like there's not a huge crowd who plays timbala. So when the timbala was played in the hall, there would be, a lot of people would be happy to have that. Timbala is definitely a rare instrument in Western Canada. There's not many players who are now existing that play it. I myself learned it to keep and preserved the instrument, but there's a few, a number of people who do play it. There's a few in Edmonton and a few in Winnipeg and across that western section of Canada. And it's just a rare instrument, and it's sadly dying out slowly. But it's such a beautiful instrument that, you know, I think the younger crowd and the younger generations should pick it up and learn it, and because to preserve the Ukrainian heritage.
Вітаю, мене звати Оксана Сем'янник. Я приїхала з України понад рік назад до Вінніпегу. Про мене, я займаюся вишивкою українських традиційних сорочок. Здавна українська традиційна сорочка, вона була як символом української нації, як оберегом. Вона містила на собі вишиті різноманітні елементи, розміщувалися елементи таким чином, щоб вони слугували як захист людини від всього злого, так, від якогось злого ока чи від якихось злих намірів, коли людина споглядала чи спілкувалася з ними. Правило, вишивка на сорочці розміщувалася навколо шиї, навколо рук, щоб захистити всі такі відкриті зони для вишивки. Вишивати мене навчила моя прабабуся. Я пам'ятаю, коли я була маленька, починаючи з років 6, я проводила такі зимові вечори в колі моєї прабабусі з її подругами, де вони кожного зимового вечора вони займалися вишивкою. Займаючись вишивкою тут, в Вінніпезі, в Канаді, це допомагає мені ближче бути до української культури, також її популяризувати. Процес вишиванки я починаю з самого задуму, з орнаменту, який я би хотіла вишити на тій сорочці, і з підбору матеріалів, з підбору тканини, ниток. Цю вишиту сорочку я вишиваю для свого старшого сина, отже ми з ним вибрали орнамент, який я розробляла також, послухавши його побажання. Підібрали кольори, які би він хотів бачити на тій вишитій сорочці. І також я вже працювала над тим, якою технікою виконувати ту вишиту сорочку. Для цієї сорочки я обрала таку цікаву техніку, яка називається низинка, низ, іншими словами. Особливість цієї техніки тим, що робота виконується якби знизу, тобто не з лицевої сторони полотна, а з виворотної, де такими сіпками твориться орнамент, і вже потім ми бачимо лице сорочки якби вже з вивороту. Були обрані такі кольори, червоний і чорний, за побажання мого сина. Також я вибрала такий цікавий орнамент, як сварга або свастика, іншими словами. Цей візерунок, орнамент, він присутній в багатьох культурах, а також в українській культурі. Іншими словами, він ще називається свастя, тобто походить від слова щастя. І, на мою думку, що дуже важливо є закласти якусь позитивну енергетику, позитивні думки, побажання під час вишивання цієї сорочки. Вишивка розміщується вздовж пазушного розрізу, буде також вишивка навколо горловини і вишиті манжети. Це означає, що вишивка закриває всі отвори в вишитій сорочці і не дозволяє потрапити якійсь негативній енергії чи негативних думок чи якихось побажань для тієї людини, для якої вишивається ця сорочка. Це вишита сорочка – це такий своєрідний бронежилет для людини, який захищає її від всього злого, від якихось поганих думок, від поганих побажань, які вона може отримати з зовнішнього світу. І мені здається, що коли кожен українець, де б він не був в світі, має свою вишиту сорочку чи якийсь елемент українського народного одягу, він буде ближче відчувати українську культуру, буде відчувати такий своєрідний захист і поєднання своїм родом, своєю країною, своєю батьківщиною.
My name is Elman Montoya. I've been in Canada five years ago. I am from El Salvador. I learned to cook in my country 23 years ago. I like this work, you know, the culinary, cultural. This is my life. I like to share my culinary culture from my country because we have different food. And this year is popular, the Salvadorian dish, but only pupusas. But we don't make only pupusas in my country. We make different dishes, and we have a good food, good recipe. This country is multicultural, about different culture in the same city, and we offer from a Latin culture. In different area from my country, we make the same food with different recipe, different flavor, different presentation. And this is the point that we share the culinary culture from my country, because we don't have only one dish, we have a different dish. And we have the place, we have opportunity, we take and we share with everyone. We serve as a Salvadorian food for breakfast. This is basically beans, rice and beans, plantain, sour cream, and buns. What is special for this? Everything we're making here. Nothing we buy from a factory. Everybody come here and they try something new in the city, because I think that this is the first place in the history in Winnipeg we serve a breakfast, authentic Salvadorian breakfast. And this is the plant, share the cultural culinary from my country.
Hey there, my name is Paul, and today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some Mennonite food. So I am by no means an expert on Mennonite food, but I do happen to be a Mennonite, and I do sometimes eat Mennonite food, so let's talk about it. Here we've got some vedanitje with schmortfat and jam, formavorscht, and borscht, beet borscht. I'm a Russian Mennonite, so growing up as a Russian Mennonite, these were the foods that we sort of ate at home a lot of the time. The interesting thing for me is a couple years ago, I traveled to Ukraine and I found out that they just eat borscht all the time there. And they also eat vedanitje all the time. So for me, it was kind of interesting to realize that, like, oh, the food that I consider to be Mennonite is actually just Ukrainian food. My wife is actually Mexican Mennonite. Her family migrated up from Mexico. So for her, Mennonite food is tacos, which is just Mexican food. So I think that it's kind of interesting that Mennonites, where we go, we tend to kind of absorb and sort of by osmosis, sort of take in some of the food that's made in that area. And then when we move on to the next area, the food that we bring that we call Mennonite food is sort of just the ethnic food that we were eating in the last place that we lived. So borscht is a delicious, delicious soup. This is my wife's beet borscht. She's the one that made it. I don't know how to make borscht, but I do know how to eat it. It has beets in it, it has carrots, it has some dill, and I always love to have it with a dollop of sour cream. And here we've got Formavorscht. Formavorscht is farmer sausage, and it's something that we love to eat here in Manitoba. We Mennonites here in Manitoba love to eat Formavorscht. It's a pork sausage. It's just really good. It's sort of like a richer, a more textured sausage. It's got sort of some pieces in it, some bits. It's not crunchy or anything. It's for sure a sausage. Maybe you could kind of compare it a little bit more to like a brat, like bratwurst or something. But it's by no means, it's not gamey or anything. Like it tastes like pork. It tastes like a good sausage. I just think that they're so delicious. I mean, my favorite thing in the summertime is to have like a farmer sausage burger. Like they make patties out of it. When you take a farmer sausage like this, was just like a little sausage, but they have some really big ones that they make patties out of. And to have that on the barbecue is just delicious on a burger bun with all your burger fixins.
Okay, well this song is called Que Nadie Sepa Mi Sufrir by the band Sonora Dinamita. The first time I heard it, they also covered it because it's originally, I think a man from Argentina that wrote it, or two men from Argentina. So it's an old song. I think it's also been covered in French, but I'm gonna do it my version. It does not sound like cumbia. here I go. Ay, vida mía. No te asombras si te digo lo que fuiste. So I've been in Canada longer than I've been in El Salvador. I visited maybe 3 times in about 35 years. So I would say I'm a tourist in the country I was born in. But I can tell you lots about Winnipeg. I play the ukulele. I taught myself 2.5 years ago during the pandemic. It was a hard time for me, and so I decided to finally take up this instrument that I had an interest in. And ever since then, I've used it to express myself and connect with my Latina roots and language and music, as well as my Canadian roots and just music as a form of healing and expression and creativity.
Amor de mis amores, si dejaste de quererme, no hay cuidado que la gente de eso no se enterará.
I was interested in learning the ukulele. I had 2 stepsons at the time, and they were taking it in school. They didn't have much interest in it, but I thought, you know what, I've always wanted to learn an instrument. So we bought one. It's a tiny one. And then I got pregnant with our daughter, their sister, and I didn't do anything with it. And then the pandemic happened, I was going through a hard time, and I was like, I'm gonna learn this. And so I didn't have much to do. I was out in Brandon, Manitoba. It was really isolating. My family's in Winnipeg. And so I started to learn it, and the rest is, I guess, history. And I loved it, and it motivates me, and I'm passionate about it. Whether I sing it for people or just for myself, that's how I got into it, and I love it. Y a pensar que te adoraba tiernamente, que a tu lado como nunca me sentí, y por esas cosas raras de la vida. The first song that I learned was Twinkle Twinkle Little Star through an app, for ukulele app. And I learned it in Spanish. And so I started learning a lot of nursery rhymes in Spanish because I didn't grow up with them. And through YouTube, and so then I showed my daughter that, and so together we learned these songs in Spanish. And so then I started listening more and more to music I grew up with, a lot of cumbia in El Salvador, a band called Sonora Dinamita, and merengue, salsas, mariachi, boleros. And so I started to listen to these over and over again, and I was like, oh yeah, and I want my daughter to as well, so she can hear the language and part of her culture from my side.
I'm Rina Sector Elbaz, and I'm the Interim Executive Director at Congregation Shara Zedek. And I'm here today with eight organizations from the Jewish community who came together to showcase Jewish culture around a beautiful holiday that has been recently revived in the past few years in Israel. It's called Tu B'Av. It's the 15th of the Hebrew month of Av, and it's the Jewish celebration of love. Wanted to showcase this beautiful holiday. It's not something that a lot of people know about, but it really is a nice way to show that love is an important thing in our culture. I think we have over 15 different words to say love in Hebrew.
I very much love tango dancing because it is all about connection and building community. And here in Winnipeg, we are starting to rebuild our community after the pandemic, and this is one opportunity for us to show tango to a broader community and hopefully get more people involved.
Since I started dancing tango, I've learned a lot about it, and it's a unchoreographed partner dance. And it was mostly immigrants to Buenos Aires who started tango and influenced its development. It was an interesting dance, and it's described often as a way of expressing the pain and difficulty in life, but creating beauty out of that pain and difficulty. So a lot of the tango music, the lyrics and so on, are expressive of really difficult things. When you start understanding the lyrics, you realize actually how sad and difficult it is. But still, as you're dancing, you're creating incredible beauty out of that.
Мене звати Оксана Пепелюшко, я з Одеси, це Україна. Я мала в Одесі свою власну студію, і ми танцювали не тільки до війни, ми танцювали ще рік. Ще рік я жила в Одесі до того, як переїхала сюди, і танці дуже рятували наше життя, давали нам якийсь спокій, давали нам якусь підтримку. Але довелося свою студію залишити і переїхати сюди. Отже, я тут вже 2 місяці, і я ще не знаю українського ком'юніті, але танго в Вінніпезі я вже знайшла, і я вже танцюю тут разом з ним. Танго я танцюю вже 15 років. До цього я танцювала ще інші танці, звісно, я танцюю ще з дитинства. Але чому я вибрала танго? Тому що воно найбільш насичене, воно глибоке, воно філософське. Танго – це про життя. Ніби інша культура, інші люди, інша мова, але я потрапила в танго-ком'юніті, і воно виходить все фактично те саме. Люди, які з'єднані однією енергією, однією силою, однією пристрастю.
For me personally, dance is a very important thing because it's an expression of joy and happiness. My name, Rina, in Hebrew means happiness, joyful happiness, and dance is also connected to the name. So for me personally, dance is important, and I think when we're happy, we need to express ourselves through music and physically through dancing. It's really the highest level of expressing joy, and that's dance. And it's a big part of our culture, too.
So my name is Juliana Roberts, and my maiden name is Gudbjartsen, which is important in this position, and I'm the executive director of the New Iceland Heritage Museum. So the Icelanders arrived here in October 21st of 1875, and they landed actually at Willow Island, and this area became New Iceland. And it runs from Boundary Creek all the way along the west shore of Lake Winnipeg up to Hekla Island and west to Number 8 Highway. So New Iceland was actually its own province, or, you know, we had our own constitution and mayor and councillors, or whatever you want to call them, and their own laws before they were absorbed into the province of Manitoba in 1876. So Iceland is a huge influence within the community. You've been here before, so you see that there's some of the place names, some of the street names. If you're familiar with Norse mythology, the word Gimli means home of the gods. Bifrost, which is the next municipality, is the bridge to the home of the gods. So there's a huge Icelandic influence here. So in 1875, the Icelanders came, and it was mainly an Icelandic community. In 1897 to 1903 became multicultural. So there was the Polish population, the Ukrainians, so it became multicultural in the early 1900s. And of course, since then, it's just become more multicultural. We moved into this facility in the year 2000, and so we've been here for 23 years. We are a Manitoba Signature Museum, so we're one of seven museums in the province because we tell an important part of the history of the creation of Manitoba. I never felt so Icelandic until I moved here. He said, because in Iceland it's just every day, but here we work hard to promote and celebrate those Icelandic events.
If you want to check out all of Ethnofest 2023 and our other content from U Multicultural, head to u-channel.ca. I'm Ryan Funk. This was U Talk. And have yourself a good one.